This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
If Cabot were a novel, it'd be about coming of age. Cabot Exterior Stain protects the true character of wood for beauty that lasts. Cabot, trusted by pros for over 140 years. Available at a retailer near you.
And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Jan Chenaeus, Scott Tanfield from Friends of Fulham and the Foffcast, Emilio Danello, and Fulham legend Gordon Davis. This is our 10-year anniversary show, which we're going to be looking back at 10 years of Cottage Talk, some memories. We'll talk about our memories of Cottage Talk, also obviously Fulham memories. And halfway through the show, we're going to have more people join us. We have a ton of people that wanted to be on this show. So you might hear some familiar voices in the second half of the show if you're not familiar with us already. But let's not waste any time because I want to talk to all these guys. So first, Mr. Tanfield, I can't thank you enough for joining us. This is a special show for us to do, and I'm just so glad you could join us.
Yeah, and no, looking forward to coming on, Russ. As I say, I think we've all known each other a long time. It's sort of back in the day. I say Cottage Talk being one of the original sort of podcasts. I mean, even now with so much choice that's out there for the fans or whatever, it's been going a long time. Really good to get on tonight and obviously see some really familiar faces as well.
Great, Scott. And I'll say this 100 times and because I love the Foffcast. You guys are doing a great job. Mike, who does the Foffcast with you, will be joining us in the second half of the show. Mike has been on a member of Cottage Talk for a while, so I'm glad that he's doing your show as well. You guys do a great job. Over to you, Giannis. Giannis, how are you doing? You're looking forward to this.
I am. I'm looking forward to talking about all things Mark Fotheringham.
Oh, geez. Well, now we have to go far back, right, Giannis?
Yeah, you know what? It's fantastic. And, you know, Cottage Talk is one of many great Fulham podcasts we've got where we can all, you know, vent our pleasure, our displeasure, our frustration. We've got a lot of memories as well.
Of course.
Many, many good ones and a few not so good ones.
All right, Giannis, we'll go through some of them as we go through the show. Emilio, as always, thank you for joining me. You looking forward to this?
Absolutely. I remember when I joined. I think it was like 2014, I think it was.
I was going to ask every one of you, what was the first time? So 2014.
Because I remember I was in New York, December 2014, and we beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-0. And you're meant to come and do the show with me in the hotel. Do you remember that?
That's right. I remember that.
Then were you taken ill or was a car broken down? It was one of the two.
My car.
Your car broke down, so you didn't come to New York on the Friday to do the show for the Saturday, but then you came on the Sunday after the game. So, and we did a show, I think, if I remember rightly. But yeah, it's been 7 years. So there's been lots of highs and lows with the club over that time. But yeah, look, you know, 10 years on, we're still all best of friends here. We've got legends on the show.
We do.
The show continues to gather momentum, you know, with other podcasts out there all competing. There's room for every podcast. That's the main thing. Every
Absolutely. Podcast
has a different theme, different flavor. And, you know, whether we've got positive or negative fans, I know some of them are going to cut. Some of our not so positive friends and colleagues will be joining us soon. But yeah, it's been a pleasure to be part of this show anyway. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you, Emilio. And this should be a fun show. And like I said, to look back at 10 years is pretty amazing. And Gordon, I can't thank you enough for joining us. You and Rob have been coming on for the past couple seasons. We really appreciate it. And your insight has been very valuable. And it's funny because I'm going to mention someone in just a second. Well, I might as well mention him now because I call him my mentor, Dan Crawford from HammyEnd.com. He actually really helped me on the beginning of Cottage Talk along with Kyle Bond. And he actually really taught me about the history. And one of the things he taught me about a great deal was you, Gordon. So wow. Again, I'm very thankful to Dan Crawford. Is really, really helping me learn the history of film way back when. And it's just such an honor to have you on this 10-year anniversary show, Gordon. I know Rob couldn't make it, and I'm sure he would have been here, but I'm glad that you were able to join us tonight.
No, it's been an eventful 2 years since I first came on. And obviously, as you said, there are things going for the club, things going against the club. I suppose I should say happy anniversary for the 10 years, which is amazing. And also just to make Emilio feel at home, I thought, well, if I come closer to the to the monitor and sort of
okay.
It's not there. Look at plenty of room. It's just the back of the loft here, and everyone does comment on it.
it's just nice to be. It's just nice to be involved, even though I'll probably be leaving you before the Doom Squad come on board. But we'll have to wait and see for that. Because I'll listen to what they have to say in the podcast.
Okay, well, fantastic, Gordon. As always, thank you for joining us. A couple mentions before we get started and talking about 10 years of Cottage Talk. Want to wish a very happy birthday to Emma Reynolds, a good friend of the show. So, Emma, I hope you're listening or watching. We're thinking about you on your very special day. And I just, I wish you all the best to you and your husband, the foam fart. Anyone that knows, I call him the foam fart. So just thought I'd mention that. Okay. Also, big shout out to Kyle, who I started Cottage Talk with back 10 years ago. It was actually August the 25th. We were actually doing a podcast about the Dnipro match. That's how far back this goes. The trying to get into the group stages of the Europa League, as we all know, Fulham failed the second time around. But that's how we started Cottage Talk. It was Kyle and I just talking about Fulham. And actually, Kyle couldn't make it today, but him and I are going to be doing a show very soon. We look forward to him and I doing it, and I have a major thank you to him. As I mentioned, major thank you to Dan Crawford, because after Kyle moved to Australia in our first season, we just couldn't do the show together, and Dan Crawford picked it up from HammyEnd.com and helped Cottage Talk continue. And then he brought in some of his guys from HammyEnd.com, and then, of course, everyone else came and joined and helped do the show, and it took off from there. So major thank you to Dan. He couldn't make it today either, but he's again, a valuable part of the history of Cottage Talk. Okay. All right. Let's get going. And Scott, I'm going to start with you. You've been on a few times, more than a few times. So let's just start here. I don't know if you remember the first time you were on the show, but is there a favorite moment you have when you've been on the show with us that you can think of?
I don't think there's a favorite moment, Russ. I mean, all shows that we've been on have been different. People that we've spoken to, people that have joined, people that have left. It's been, you know, quite a journey over 10 years. And I say, I've not been an absolute regular, but we've known each other from the start. And it's been good to see, you know, the show evolve and, you know, like seeing the likes of obviously Gordon coming on the show. You know, sort of players from around about my era, which, you know, I used to watch play when I was younger. I mean, you wouldn't kind of get that now in today's game, I don't think. So it's refreshing to see, you know, guys like that come on and contribute, because back then football was a lot different. I think from a player perspective, you get a lot more sort of insight into how football was. And I think they understand you more as fans. And I think that's been really good. And one thing that your show has done, obviously, moving forward. I don't know, Russ. I mean, it's really difficult to sort of see and think, what are the best parts? All I know is the first show that I'd done was my first ever podcast. And I was absolutely bricking it.
you're fine, Scott. You're fine.
Probably sounded fine when we was on, but no, it was just the anxiety, the nerves. I mean, sort of running up.
Right.
I'd never done one before because we'd just run four rooms and I'd never had to be a voice or, you know, and this face isn't for viewing, trust me. So it's one of those sort of things really where I just remember being really nervous. And then I remember coming on quite a few times, and I think sort of back then when I started, we wasn't having a particularly good time. I think through the kind of McGatt era, I think it was.
Yep.
So wasn't a lot of positivity to talk about when, you know, when we were on it. It was a kind of, you know, a win against, I don't know, maybe like a Bristol City or something. Yep. Like that. We won away from home 5-1 or whatever it was, and then we got smashed at home 4-0 by Bournemouth. It was very up and down, you know. But no, I mean, just in general, to give my feedback, as I say, I always watch from the outside. We're doing our own bits and pieces now.
Yep.
And it's really good to watch you sort of evolve, you know, as Cottage Talk into the way that you've gone, really, Russ.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. And what's great is that, like I said, your show, The Fofcast, you guys started, and you've really taken that under your wing. And Owen, Mike, Jerry, and whoever else you have joining you, listen, you've had Steve Lydiard on, you've had Claire on. You guys are doing a great job. And it's just nice to have another great podcast. We have several great podcasts. You're doing a great job, Scott. I just want to make sure, you know, I know what you're saying, that you were nervous in the beginning. I do want to mention this because I'm going to go to Giannis in just a second. I wouldn't call it a favorite moment, but a moment that stands out with you and Giannis was when you guys were going at Tony Khan and you gave him, like, I think a 1 out of 10 for a window. That stands out to me. I don't know if you do you remember that.
Has anything changed since? I don't think it has. I mean,
okay, I had to mention that because
no, that's fine. But yeah. just one thing before I sort of move on, because I mentioned this the other day, and it's Fofcast kind of evolved in lockdown with, you know, a few guys that sort of suffer, you know, sort of from mental health and stuff like that. And it was a kind of, I think it was a period for people to get involved with something. For something to do to keep them sort of interested, to keep their minds on something. But one thing that it has brought to light is we'll start a podcast, we'll do this. And I don't think a lot of people realise how much time and effort goes into actually making a show.
Yeah.
You know, when you see a show come up, especially one of yours or whatever it is on Twitter or on Facebook, you give it a listen, you think, yeah, it was all right, it wasn't really me, or it was. But I was trying to explain the other day, someone said to me, how much time goes into a podcast? And I said, well, the time and effort that it takes, I mean, if you record for an hour, you then sit there for an hour and a half editing, adding music, taking blips and bleeps out. Then you sit there for another hour, sort of pushing out on social media and stuff like that. And by the time it's gone out, I don't think people realise that. So I just wanted to sort of say, you know, I'll give my opinion, you know, in regards to what you've done for the last 10 years.
Oh, well, thank you, Scott.
You know,
thank you.
This is the process of what, you know, you go through and all these guys go through, getting the agendas done. I mean, even the agenda sitting there, putting that together takes what?
Yep.
40 minutes, 50 minutes to do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just wanted to say that.
No, I appreciate that, Scott. And because, again, obviously you understand the time and effort that goes into that. And I do it because I love it. And I know everyone that joins me does it because they love talking phone. But I appreciate you mentioned that. Over to you, Giannis. I wanted to throw that out about you and Scott because it hit me thinking about I remember that show. But I want to go back to the beginning with you. Do you remember your first show?
It was in 2014.
Okay, another 2014.
And I remember thinking, I phoned my dad up and I said, I'm going to be on a podcast. I'm not going to repeat what he said. but the sixth letter of the alphabet was prominent in his response. I think if there's one moment, it's funny. When I did the shows with Rodney Marsh and with Robbo.
Yes.
And my dad passed 5 years ago, and I know he'd have really enjoyed those shows because he was he was a huge fan of particularly Ivor, and I can see him now. He would have been, you know, up against his computer listening intently and maybe swearing at a few things I was asking. But there were great memories. The one thing that stands out for me might have been the playoff game against Villa, the post game show. I wasn't.
Oh, that was great.
And it was because, and it's funny how 3 years is a long time in football, because there was the Monsieur Edouard and his tackle, his mauling, his rugby tackle on Jack Grealish. But I was thinking about last night how far Jack Grealish has come since that game, and that now, you know, he's considered, you know, I think in many ways maybe the best player since Gazza in terms of his skill and his ability to turn a game. And it just goes to show, you know, we still have Odoi with us and what have you, and we've gone up and down. Yep. But how, you know, even a few years can make a big difference in terms of the fortunes of the club. But that was a magnificent moment. Okay. Wembley, never. And you were there.
I was there. I was there. And listen, that's great. These shows that you're talking about. And Emilio, I want to go to you. You know, you said 2014. We've done a lot of shows together. Is there one that stands out to you? Is there a moment that stands out to you? I know that's kind of really putting you to really think about it because there have been so many shows. Was there one, like Giannis was talking about, like after the championship final, was there one that stands out to you?
Yeah, he said there was quite a few. I remember the first one was, I think I did it with David Hulley on the show. It was a Friday night preview show. I can't remember who the game fixture was against on okay. the Saturday, but yeah, I remember it was David Hulley at the time. I remember when we even transitioning from Skype to live videos. Look at this, you know, how the technology has also evolved over the last.
That's right. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
We've moved with the times. We do shows straight out after the game outside the ground. It was originally on audio. Now we will start to do it outside video. So I think that's a big favorite moment of mine. The way that we've transitioned with our technology. We've obviously had Tony Khan on the show. When was that? 2014 or 15? I can't remember now.
I want to say 2015 that we had Tony on. That was
a good show. Yep. He was very open and transparent with us that day. You know, wasn't holding back.
Nope.
You know, the Villa victory post match. Excellent. I still remember the nerves I had when we beat Brentford in the final. I think, you know, I remember everyone else was celebrating. I'm still worried.
I know, Emilio. You and I did a show right afterwards, and you were the one that said it.
On the beers and champagne, I think, hold on a minute. I'm worried about next season already. So that's just, you know, couldn't enjoy the moment. But yeah, there's been a lot of, I know, Gordon, you're laughing there, but it's trying to be realistic. But we've had other players. We had Paul Pesky Salido. We had Pesh on the show.
Yes.
We've done lots of variety. We've done charity, you know, not charity, you know, things like Fulham Foundation. We've done shows around.
Yep, we've done a variety of shows.
And a hell of a lot of things, to be honest. And, you know, but what's a constant here is the product has evolved, but we're still doing shows, you know, 2-3 times a week. And to Scott's point, we know how long these things take to prepare, review, edit, and so forth. We shouldn't underestimate the amount of time you put in week in, week out. So thank you very much for that, Russ. But yeah, I think there's many favourite moments, but I think I just love the fact that we were able to attract honest people out there, former players, former legends, and just, you know, I've met a lot of people off the back of the show as well. I think I've got to be grateful for that. So, Giannis, you came to London with Nina. Do you remember Nina?
Yeah, I remember when you guys met. That's right.
Nina's house.
That was a fantastic night. That was a wonderful evening. That really was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you came down to London, my wife and you. We went up to Sophie's Steakhouse in Covent Garden. Do you remember that?
That's
and we went to dinner that night.
5 years ago?
Oh, it's about 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago, if I can remember correctly.
Then Nina, Nina did a few shows. I remember. I did one at her place one afternoon.
Yeah.
I remember we were drinking champagne after the game, after that show. But yeah, it's just, there's a lot of fun moments. We met a lot of good people. So it's.
I think Emilio even came and met me at the Golden Lion once in the end.
Came to meet you. That was Crystal Palace at home, first game of the season 3 years ago.
I was saying, he didn't get any COVID jab then, so he wasn't safe.
No, that's great, Emilio. And I'm glad that you mentioned it because for me, you know, and again, I guess you could say my favorite moment of the show is really not the show on the show. It's meeting you, meeting Mike a bunch of times, you know, and, you know, going to Wembley and meeting people that recognize me from the show, which still to this day blows my mind. But it's the people that I met. It's the friends that I met. Those are my favorite moments of the show. It's who I've met. So, and the fact that we could still do this and we could talk about Fulham. And I will say this one more time, and it goes back to how glad I am that Scott has his own show. The content's needed. The content is needed because the media coverage of Fulham, I'll say right now, sucks and blows. I mean, it's terrible. And we are the ones that are doing it. The blogs, all of it, you know, Scott's wonderful website message board. It's us. We're the ones that are doing it. You know, and that's what's wonderful about this. It's the content. And I'm just glad that we're a part of that. So I'm very happy about that. Gordon, over to you. Now, again, you've been on more than a few times. And I got to tell you, my favorite moment with you is always you and Emilio going at each other. That's always my favorite moments because it's pure gold. I love that, to be honest with you. But I'm just curious about your experience overall being on the show.
Well, I must admit, you said something strange, which I can relate to, that people have spoken to me more since I've been coming on the show, because obviously, although I do some comments in the program on a home match basis, of course, they always put the old photograph of me in the one of the white shirts that I used to wear. So everybody yep. knows what I used to look like. And I think it's only those who come into hospitality actually know what I look like today. So the people who have been looking at the show for the last 2 years have actually been able to say, Jesus, does Ivor look like that now? And so therefore, when I walk around Craven Cottage on a match day, people actually talk to me now rather than ignoring me, which is quite nice. So I'd like to thank you for that. from my point of view, and Scott said something earlier on about the different podcasts, getting people yep. involved, and especially with COVID, about the mental health side of things. Mm-hmm. And people need something to take their mind off the boredom of everyday life. And sometimes, like last season, the boredom of actually losing virtually every week that we were playing a game. So I think it does a fantastic job by just linking people together and saying certain things on the podcast, which might sort of either confirm what they're thinking or give them something else to think about or a different line of thought from, obviously, the way that Emilio or myself, I'm obviously a glass half full, and yep. Emilio is, I can only say, an empty glass, not a glass empty. So we will always look at things from different points of view. But I've always enjoyed it when I've come on, and obviously when I came on, first of all, I think I said that Rob and myself will never see eye to eye, and we differ on certain things. But it's one of those situations. Yeah. That I love coming on. I love sort of meeting new people because obviously yep. Scott I've not seen before. I've loved every minute of it. And to think great. That I've only been doing it for two years, but those 2 years have seemed to have gone just like a flash. And before you know it, we'll have won this league again. We'll be going up to the Premier League, and Emilio will still be wary of what's in front of us. So,
well, yeah, but that's Emilio. That's how he rolls, Gordon. But, you know, what's interesting, and I'll just share one of my favorite moments. You know, and again, I know I talked about you and Emilio, but what's great about having you and Rob on, and I'm so feel lucky that you guys spend time with us to do this show, is your analysis. Your analysis is so great, because you played the game at such a high level and so successful that you can really see the problems or the successes that Fulham are having, especially with you, you know, and again, you were very open with your frustration with the situation at Stryker last season, and Rob really broke down the midfield. It's just so wonderful to have that kind of analysis, Gordon.
Well, as long as it's sort of helping people not necessarily understand something, because there's a lot of supporters who have been watching games for 30, 40 plus years. And I've always said it's not rocket science, but you listen to some of the pundits these days and some of the managers, and they do talk in a different world from yep. what we used to say. And there's a low block, there's a high block. I didn't even have a clue what they were, but parking the bus, I understood that. And it's one of those situations where the terminology, I think, has changed, and a lot of the newer supporters follow that. But if I turned around and said, well, yeah, Middlesbrough parked the bus, perhaps they wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about, because I'm one of the old fogies who goes back 30, 40, 50 years ago. So it's as long as people can see what we or understand what Rob is trying to say about the midfield, what I'm trying to say about the forwards, and it makes it sort of clearly obvious sometimes what's going wrong and why don't you just change it, then it should be a simple game to play and a simple game to understand, but it's just complicated sometimes by coaches, managers and pundits.
Okay, excellent stuff. All right. I'm going to go around the room because it's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. I'm going on the Cottage Talk 10 years. So, Scott, I'm going to ask you, you know, and again, I didn't give you guys an agenda. I'm just throwing stuff at you. In these 10 years, what's the best match of the Cottage Talk decade for you? Best full match in 10 seasons. I'm going to throw it all at you. You can only name one. What would it be?
I think it's got to be Wembley first time around.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I totally agree. It's funny because I'm thinking of some that it could be, but Wembley is one that I'm thinking about. How about you, Amelia?
Yeah, it was a bit. For me, it's probably still the Juventus game. The fact that, you know, you're playing world champions, European, you know, the man of
time. That was before. That was before these 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Other than that, it would be the Villa game, I think that was, you know.
The Villa game. Wow.
Better Wembley when it has to be that, to be honest, really. You know, we've had lots of proud moments as a Fulham fan in the last 10 years during the show, but I think it has to be that Villa game, to be honest.
Okay. Giannis, how about you?
Believe it or not, it might be the second Wembley game. The Brentford, because I was terrified that we were going to lose to those buggers. I really couldn't think, and especially with the Emilio Marcondes comments before, and that Joe Bryan goal is going to live, it's going to go down in history for its absolute brilliance. It was a moment, one of those moments in my Fulham life that I'll never forget because nobody saw it coming. I think a lot of us probably thought we were going to be, they'd beaten us twice. We hadn't scored a goal against them. Everybody was tipping us to lose to them, and we somehow did the unthinkable, and we knocked them off. And Joe Bryan, of all people, to score two goals in the final was pretty special.
Okay, so you're going for the second one. All right, how about you, Gordon? In these 10 years, is it one of those matches, or is there something else?
No, I'd possibly go with the second match against Brentford because, as Giannis just said, nobody was really fancying us to do anything in that game. That season, Brentford had been the better team. When they played us, they'd sort of done the business on us in both games. And I don't think anybody could see us getting a result against them at Wembley. The first game, which was mentioned, I could see us beating Villa on the day. Only because I think they had a few older legs in the team and we could probably outrun them over 90 minutes. But certainly the Brentford game, I was more worried about that game. By the way that we were playing that season, I could not see us getting a result that night. And as Giannis mentioned, I was looking at that ball in the side netting thinking, it's not gone in, but it's gone into the side netting and got stuck there. So I didn't even realise that it was a goal until somebody sort of started running away and then somebody mentioned on the commentary that we'd scored because you just couldn't see him having a shot from there. And yes, it'll go down in history as probably one of the most important goals that has been scored at Fulham.
Okay, excellent stuff. Guys, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you stick around for the entire show?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Scott, can you stick around? Because we do have some room now. So I'm going to add everyone on now. So coming up next, we're going to have some more people joining us. This should be very interesting. Okay, here's the second half of the show. We got a bunch of people joining us. Here we go. I'm going to let it rip. Okay, joining us right now is Mike Reich, Steve Lydiard, and David Holly. How are you guys all doing?
Hiya.
David, how are you doing?
Right, well, I'm in my football kit. I'm a bit worried that Steve's going to get his red card out now, of course. But
okay.
Fantastic to be back and see you all.
Okay, well, it's good to have you back, David. Mike, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to it. Just caught the tail end of first half. So, yeah, looking forward to taking part now.
Okay, excellent. Mr. Lydiard, how are you doing?
I'm good. And Russ and everybody else, I hope you guys are all good. And Emilio, haven't seen you in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it came for the Middlesbrough game. Saw you with your kids that day. But as I said, earlier, I've met Mike, I've met David many times, yourself, Steve. Yeah, it's the show connected all of us, you know. On audio or video, but actually face-to-face. We've had a few drinks over the years.
Okay. I used to stalk Gordon when I was a schoolboy.
I think everybody that's in this photograph now was watching me, apart from props one person. Were probably wearing short trousers.
Okay, well, guys, thank you so much for joining us, and I appreciate you coming in halfway through. David, I'm just going to go with you again. Welcome back to Cottage Talk. It's been a while. And I just want to, we started the show, so it's been a while since you've been on. What has been your favorite moment when you were on the show? And then I'll go to Mike and Steve.
Well, I'm delighted to be part of a show with so many co-hosts. I mean, we've got, only Leeds would have brought more, obviously. But I think we've got more co-hosts now than Fulham have got central midfielders, you know. It's been a long time. The doctors keep fixing me up. I've got even more plastic and metal than last time. So when I die, I'm not going to be cremated. My wife's going to have me recycled. I've missed your boundless, ridiculous optimism, Russ. I've missed the Goldmans, of course. You know, yep. I love the Goldmans. All those shows, even where we were so rubbish, we were awful, and we had to spend the time, swearing. Making cheesy jokes, literally James Bond references. We had a whole
me, you, and Mike with our James Bond connection. Yes,
terrible impressions, Yanis, and myself as well, of course. You know, Mick McCarthy and Arsene Wenger and everybody else, you know. And you know, I've missed also the interaction, of course, that we used to have, the co-hosts and the fans on Twitter, you know, people groaning when I was right. And people jubilant when I was occasionally wrong, you know, and things like that. You know, and now look where we are this season. It's fantastic, isn't it, where we are? Who could expect this? Not even you could have expected this, really, could you? I know. But remember, there's one thing that I would have said all those years ago.
Okay.
It still holds true. The table doesn't lie.
Yes, David, the table doesn't lie. And I've used that on the show. And yes, I will give you credit for the table doesn't lie. Of course, you've got to bring that up. You know, but David, I wouldn't be having you back on the show without saying Norwich. So how about that? Did I say it correctly, David?
No, that one's gone now. We've moved on.
We moved on. Let me check. I think we might have an audio of Claire. Let's see if Claire's with us. Claire, are you with us?
Hiya. Yeah, I am.
Okay. So we got Claire on audio. Claire, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us.
I'm fine. You can see my face. I am on camera too, but I just haven't started it yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's up to you whether you want to see my face or not.
Yes, Claire, we want to see your face. So
it's going
to
be an improvement on us, isn't it?
I don't know. It's not very pretty at this time of night. I'm usually in my pajamas at this time.
There we go, Claire. There we go. There's Claire. Claire, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Pleasure. It's an honor, Russ. I'm very privileged. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, well, good there, Claire. Mr. Lydiard, how are you doing? You know, again, you've been on more than a few times, and it's funny because I'm trying to stay away from asking you about refereeing decisions because you do more than that. But has it been a favorite moment for you on Cottage Talk?
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, I can't disappoint the people who say I'm very, very appalled with the start to the season, you know, sort of 13 from 15 points. You know, we should have won the first game, shouldn't we, guys?
But, yeah, of course. Of course, Steve, right?
No, favourite moment, probably after the Brentford game, probably when me and you were the most excited around having a drink.
Yeah.
For once, I was pretty excited and positive. And then Emilio brought me back down on that night. but to be fair, probably rightly so.
Okay. Mr. Greg, over to you. And I'm going to tell you this, Mike. My favorite moment of you being on the show is not being on the show. It's meeting you in person, Mike. It's meeting you in New York. I got a chance to meet Mike in New York. And I should say two favorite moments. The other favorite moment is having Thanksgiving dinner with you, Mike. Those are my two favorite moments with you.
Yeah, and David touched on it, and I'm sure you spoke about it earlier. It's a whole group of us who we met via this, and you know, maybe initially on Twitter, but then through Cottage Talk, and
yep.
We were doing the streaming. We did the streaming camera long before anyone else did it as well, Russ, if you remember.
Yep.
And I mean, my memories of everything is really, in some ways, the dark days when me, you, and Dave were virtually every other day.
Oh. You know,
the gaff period, really.
Oh, terrible.
It was intense, but we had fun still, didn't we?
We did. We did, David. We absolutely did.
Yeah, we did. But it was, the interaction with the listeners as well was good. And, the highlights, meeting you in New York, but meeting everyone anywhere, really, and really culminating in the first playoff final, of course, when, loads of us saw each other on that day. And, memories. I mean, I remember, we touched on it, all the Bond sort of references.
Yep. And,
can't mention the team down the road and all that kind of stuff.
David.
I did one show, Russ, actually a couple of years ago when we beat Reading 4-1 and I got back to the car and I did a post-match show then.
Yep.
I remember doing that one, and that was under Parker. And surprisingly, we played really well, good football.
I remember that.
I listened back to it earlier just to remember, and I compared it. I said it was as good as under Jukanovic that first half, but I think we kicked too early, obviously, then with it. But no, I mean, it was, there was a good number of years there when we were doing it on regular, and then we, so many new people came and all moved on. And I think that's the good thing about the show. It's kept itself fresh. You've been, there at the head of it. But, Emilio stayed all the way through it. Yanis has as well. But new people have joined. And every time I've listened, it's always felt fresh. And well done to you, Russ, for keeping going through some very dark days. And, without you, the show wouldn't have continued.
Well, thank you very much for that, Mike. I really appreciate it. I have to share this comment. We do have some comments just because I think this is funny. And Yanis, you're Alice in this Brady Bunch. You would be Alice. So just
I just see Yanis in his pinny and everything with his
All right, Claire, it's funny, Claire. My favorite moment of you being on the show with me was I can't remember what away match was, but I actually, you called in from the car with your father and your daughter. That was my favorite moment. I thought that was great. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was Leicester away. Leicester.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember that. My dad, bless him. He doesn't really understand technology. So he was talking to you like he was talking down the phone. I remember.
That's right.
And he was just like, Dad, this is live. And he's like going off on one. But yeah, no, I do remember that. And actually, my dad really likes things like that, bless him. Although he doesn't understand it, he does like to give his opinion. So he was happy with that one as well.
Okay, great stuff. Well, guys, I do have some topics for all of us. And because I was thinking about what to do. We already started with best match of the decade. But I'm going to move on because I think this is going to be universal, what I'm about to ask you guys. But I'm just curious if we all agree on this. Mr. Holly, is it any question who would be worst manager of the Cottage Talk decade?
Are we going to go back to Cheesy Jakes again? That's all I can say, I think. It's got to be Mr. McGath, hasn't it?
Surely. Mr. McGath. It has to be Mr. McGath. Like you said, me, you, and Mike were doing a lot of those shows back then. Let's put it to you this way. Who would be second?
Oh, that's a good one. I think There was a lot of hate at one point for Kit, really, wasn't there? We felt Kit really overstayed his welcome. I mean, there's you could argue anyone, maybe, I don't like Rennie Meulensteen. I don't think he got a fair crack, but you know, the record would say that he was unsuccessful in his tenure. So people may look at him, but I think Felix McGath does stand out massively. And then after that, I mean, Mike would probably say Scott Parker. I know from reading Mike's tweets, you know.
Okay.
And when you look at how a little bit of tweaking has changed, you know, I know we're in a different league, of course, but a little bit of tweaking. We're suddenly playing exciting attacking football with pace.
Okay.
It's a completely different change with a similar group of players. So, you know, you can throw anything in there. But McGath really stands out, I think.
Right. Yeah. I think everyone's going to agree on McGath. But, Mike, would you agree with David that it's McGath? But would it be Parker second or would it be Kit? or Meulensteen?
No, it's definitely McGath, isn't it? I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it was just a joke, really. But Kit was fine initially, but then, you know, it just tailed off at the end. And similar to Parker in many ways, you know.
Yep.
Where we played the last 10 games last year, similar, you know, just no direction or anything. But whatever my personal feelings on Parker, no, it would be McGath, and then it would be...
What about Ranieri? No one's mentioning Ranieri.
Giannis has two thumbs up for Ranieri.
Forgot about him already.
How about you, Scott? What do you think about this?
It's definitely McGath for me. I mean, I can't see... I mean, for me... Simons or Kit was more of a bit of a fullback guy for me. I think he kind of inherited the mess. You know, we kind of got our Fulham back, didn't we, from McGath? And like you say, I think what they were saying, they kind of understand his welcome a little bit, you know. And I think the fans got on his back. But no, it's definitely McGath for me.
Okay. How about you, Gordon, in these 10 years?
Yeah, Felix the Cat. Obviously, he's by far the worst manager that we've had, not only from a supporter's point of view, which is what I am like the rest of you, but from a player's point of view as well, because some of the things that he was asking players to do or get up to or in training was absolutely ridiculous. But I'll agree with Scott with regards to the next person, because yes, I know Kit. I would stick up for him with regards to what he inherited, and he was one that was going to try to bring more of the youth team through, but it was going to take time. And as we all know now, there is no time in sort of Premier League or sometimes league football, because it's all about results now and sort of next week and the week after. So I'd go with Ranieri only because...
Okay.
I'll eat humble pie. I said it was a good appointment when he came in. And I remember saying in my program notes that he's an Italian. If he can't get us to defend, then nobody will. But he wanted us to play like Leicester. Love Mitrovic to bits, but he hasn't got the pace of Jamie Vardy. And we were never going to play like Leicester. So after 16 games of trying to make us play like Leicester, he got the push as well, because he wasn't a manager that was going to change his philosophy. And it costs managers jobs these days if they don't want to change their philosophy, and it's not working.
Okay. Claire, how about you?
Yeah, just full house with McGath. It was... you know, not just the stuff that was happening on the pitch, but it just made a laughing stock of Fulham, didn't it? All the stories that were coming out, it was just really quite embarrassing. And, you know, we're already teased with the, you've got the clappers, you've got the Michael Jackson statue and all of that. And then to have this lunatic with his cheese adding to it, it's just like, no, yeah, it was just abysmal, wasn't it? It really was. I'd go full house with you guys on that one.
Okay. Our favourite ref, Mr. Lydiard, who would it be?
Oh, there's a few to choose from. There's obviously McGath, but, you know, Tony Khan. Anyone mention Tony Khan?
Oh.
possibly.
It had to come up. I knew I call it the Fulham third rail. He's the Fulham third rail. So
what about Roy Hodgson? You know, he got us to a European final. And we lost
Roy Hodgson's before, you know, the 10 years, Steve. So you can't even talk about
Roy. We've forgotten one, guys.
It's Felix McGaff. It's got to be Felix Martin McGaff, Yole? Let's be honest.
Martin Yole
is the beginning of the Cottage Talk section.
It's Felix McGaff. It's got to be Felix McGaff. Absolute clueless idiot.
Okay, so now we're going to flip it because you guys know how positive I am. Who was the best manager of the Cottage Talk Tech? And I'm curious your views on this. I'm going to get us started. I'm going to say Savisa. Am I wrong, David?
Maybe you'll be proved wrong after this season, but at the moment it's too early to say.
Right. It's too early to say with Marco Silva.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Hill might turn out to be, but you can't judge someone after a handful of games. So, no, okay. I'm with you.
Okay. So, I got one vote for Savisa. Scott, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's Djukanovic for me. I think his tenure in the Premier League was a little bit questionable, but championship-wise, I think it's probably some of the best football we've seen, obviously, since the Takana days. I don't think we've been that sport since, like David was saying there. Marco Silva does seem to be the one, but I mean,
he could overtake it.
Yeah. And he does have a tendency to drop off at the end of seasons, you know, so we've got to watch that one quite carefully. Mm-hmm. But no, it's Djukanovic. Yeah, definitely Djukanovic.
Okay. How about you, Emilio? You know, is it that easy to just say it's Savisa, or could it be, you know, going back to, you know, and again, we're talking about Yol. I mean, Yol did have a good period, but it had a very bad period.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I agree with Gordon, back to Ranieri. I was very pro at Ranieri when he got the job. You know, thinking he was going to change the club, he was going to save the club, but clearly that was a mistake. Djukanovic, I was scathing. I remember when he got the job. You remember rightly. I remember against him for many, many months.
I remember
at some point he struggled initially. He really struggled. But I loved Martin Yol's football in that season. We did it. We finished seventh.
That's why I want to bring up Yol
in the Premier League. Djukanovic, Championship 23 game unbeaten run. You failed miserably in the Premier League. Martin Yol, we had some very good players in that era. We finished seventh. We were winning handsomely at all those home games. We could compete against the likes of Liverpool, Man United in those games. But unfortunately, you know, Djukanovic struggled in the Premier League. To be honest, I enjoyed that Martin Yol season where we were knocking teams out for six and we were winning home and away. Obviously, things didn't work out when we got relegated, you know, when that season got relegated. But clearly, we had some very good moments. And those are the dizzy heights we want to return to.
Yep.
So Djukanovic, great in the Championship, found out in the Premier League. And I think Martin Yol, we had a good team. He built in that team. And we had some very proud moments as a support in that time.
Okay, Mr. Greg, I'm going with Savisa. You know I love Savisa, but Giannis, there's a Goldman for you. Emilio's making a strong argument for Martin Yol. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't go for Yol because actually I think his building of the team led to us getting relegated in some ways.
It's a good point.
So it's Djukanovic, hands down. You know, there's no competition really. I mean,
okay.
We play the 23 game run. He's actually the opposite to Silva, isn't he? So he starts slowly, has a better second half, whereas Silva historically starts well and then has a poor second half season. So it's far too early for Silva to make any judgments, but it's, you know, a cracking start by him.
Absolutely.
But Djukanovic, for me, ticking off football was something else, but Djukanovic, I just love the way at its peak, we just controlled and wore teams down, and it was beautiful to watch, and I loved it.
Let me ask you this, because we talked about this on the very last show, Mike, comparing what we've been seeing so far from Marco Silva early days to ticking off football. Is it fair to even bring up the two together?
You can compare it, but it's for me, it's still too early. I mean, it's 20 years ago, but that beginning of that season under Tignar was terrific, and we, you know, that was something else. What we're watching after the last 2 years, we can feel the cheese. There's no doubt about that. But let's just see how it goes. Let's see how it goes over the next 5 games or so.
Okay, how about you, Giannis?
I'm not, you know, hindsight in 2020. I'm not going to have a lot bad said about Yol. I mean, he got us to seventh place in the Premier League. I mean, it is what it is. It's a fact, and yes, it's a great players. Slavish is fantastic, and he did a wonderful job. And I'm hoping the Sheffield United fans, you know, they've had a difficult start of the season, but that they'd be patient for someone who's a very, very good manager, although I still think they've got some holes in the team. I think that I've been really encouraged by Marco Silva. It just goes to show that the coaching isn't just a matter of the X's and O's and technical, but it's also about the spirit. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the Motspur Park. They did the little tidbits on YouTube today.
Yeah,
and the first clip was Harrison Reed roughhousing Rodrigo Muniz.
I saw that.
And I thought, well, that's your first introduction to the club. And I think that's pretty indicative of the spirit of the club and the team right now. So there's going to be some comparisons to Tigana, and that was a fantastic team.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, it's got to be Slavija. 23 games, insanity.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And I still think he was fired too early. I don't think he got support in the transfer window that he maybe should have done. And Mr. Khan decided to pull the rug out of him maybe a little too soon.
Okay. Gordon, over to you. Your thoughts, is it going to be Savisa? And could it potentially eventually be Marco Silva? Or, you know, it's funny, we haven't mentioned Scott Parker. I don't think Scott Parker's in that discussion. It just didn't work out. But who's the best manager?
I think, as most people have said, you've got to look at it and the way that the team played under Slavisa. He is, for, shall we say, those 23 games, the best manager. But if it had been another owner, shall we say, and where we were after the first 23 games, would he have still been in a job? Because you go 23 games in the second half of the season, unbeaten. You say that he generally starts slow, but you're talking really half a season where he's taken to get everything right.
Yep.
When it was right, then there's no comparison to anybody else in the timescale that we're looking at to take the mantle from him. And you look at the Premier League, and I was having a bit of a go with him because, as I mentioned about Ranieri, who followed him in, he wanted to play his way of football that worked in the Championship in the Premier League. And after 15, 16 games, it wasn't working and he got the sack. He should have, in my opinion, changed his philosophy after maybe 8 games or 10 games, because we weren't getting results and we didn't even look like getting results in those first 8 or 10 games. And we were like a fish out of water, in my opinion. And it was as if he was so stubborn to say, this is how I want us to play and this is how we're going to play, purely on the season before, where perhaps they got the idea after 23 games that this is how we should be playing and went on that 23-game unbeaten run. But he certainly has his failings. But with the ones that you're looking at, then really he's by far the best one up until now. And I know we've mentioned that Silva starts off well. If he starts well and the players are with him, and they sound as though they are, and they look as though they are, then to be perfectly honest with you, and I know I'm going to be sort of shot down because we're going to lose a game every now and again, but that 23-game unbeaten run could be under pressure, the way that we're playing.
Oh,
and
I hope you're right.
The strength that we've now got in the squad.
I hope you're right there, Gordon. I really do. Over to you, Mr. Lydiard. For you, is it Slavisa or is there someone else?
Stephanie Slavisa, but I think Mike makes a good point about Silva starting slow and maybe sort of, sorry, not slow, start fast and then tailing off. But to be fair, I think if we start fast with him, we'll probably win the league by just the other side of Christmas, so it won't really matter in the end.
But, I'll take that, Steve.
But yeah, I think we all would. But no, I think I think it's got to be Slavisa. There's hands down. Everyone's just said the reasons why.
Okay. And Claire, I'm sorry to leave you last, but your thoughts? Would it be Savisa for you?
Yeah, again, just full house. It was just great, beautiful football to watch and so exciting and great as a fan. You know, every match day you were going into the game being a bit cocksure that you were going to win, and it was just so much fun. There's nothing better than going into a football match with all that positivity, which is what we've got now. And it's lovely. And you can really feel that atmosphere at the Cottage at the moment where people, you know, they've got such a good vibe. And that's what it was like during the 23 unbeaten. And it's just good. It's just good to be a part of. It's beautiful football to watch. It's just so positive. The energy's great. And I love that as much as I love watching the football.
Okay, excellent. All right, bonus topic just for Giannis. Giannis, worst Fulham player of the Cottage Talk decade. I think it's either going to be Fotherham or pajamas. Am I right?
Well, because you, I don't want you to take offense if I mention Floyd Aite. And let's be honest, we mugged Reading out of $7 million for Sonny Onuka. So how we got anything for him, I don't know. Mark Fotheringham, I know he's coaching. I think he's in at Cowdenbeath right now. He was a player coach. He is far and away. I think he is now the worst player I've ever seen play for Fulham. I mean, no disrespect to the family, and being a professional obviously is very, very tough. But he looked so far out of his depth when he played for us. He might as well have been 60,000 leagues beneath the sea. It was painful to watch. And he must have known. So Mark Fotheringham by a country mile.
Okay, very good. I had to throw that in there at the last minute. But here's one, guys. As you can imagine, I want you to think about this. This is 10 seasons of Cottage Talk. Let's do this, Mr. Holly. Best player of the Cottage Talk decade. I am looking at a Berbatov shirt. I'm going with Dimitar Berbatov.
Well, in terms of raw talent, yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a team player, you can't pick Dimitar. Not really.
No.
I mean, he's,
no.
You know, he, yeah, certainly had the skills. I mean, for me, I like honest, hard-working players, I think, and guys who, you know, they put in a good shift. The Harrison Reeves of yesteryear, maybe. People like that, you know.
Danny Murphy going further back.
Yeah. I mean, even Ivor used to run a bit. He didn't just used to tap them in the box, you know, sometimes. And, like, you know, they had a great team back then. Ray Lurie did all the hard work in midfield, didn't they, and everything. But yep. It's probably safe to say I'm not going to pick Brian Ruiz. He was never on my list, you know. Again, a classy looking player, but never really hit it off. There's so many to choose from.
I know. That's why I thought this would be an interesting topic. This is 10 years, David. So give it to one person, who would it be?
Well, I can tell you, just about fits in probably still. But I think for me, we've never really still, apart from on loan last season, replaced Mark Schwarzer. We still have got to find.
Okay, that's a good one.
Goalkeeper. I mean, so, yeah, maybe he wasn't the best player, especially as he's coming to the end of his tenure, maybe when we started or when he started on the show. But, you know, who's been better? Areola, most certainly. I can't believe he's a reserve for West Ham. But
yep.
I'm not sold at the moment on Gazzaniga. And, you know,
I'm with you, David.
For me, he's our weak link at the moment, if there is one.
Okay.
So, I think, you know, you've got to start with that foundation. I wouldn't say he was maybe the best player overall, but maybe the most crucial player, someone like that, that's a goalkeeper.
Interesting. Yeah? That's an interesting take by you. Mr. Tanfield, where do you go on this? Like I said, you can go in many different directions. If I'm going for pure talent, that's why I was looking at Berba. But as a team player, David's right. He wasn't a team player. Let's call it what it was. But if it was just best player at Fulham over 10 seasons, 10 years, who was it for you?
I mean, I've seen a few. For me, the most striking player for when he came on and made his debut under Mark Hughes was Dembele.
Oh, great one.
I thought he was just a sort of a cut above everyone else. He came on like an ice skater, didn't he? I mean, that through ball to Pobrednik at Queen's Park Rangers that time when we won 1-0 down there. He just had something special about him. And even when he left, he never kind of bigged it up, did he? He went quite quietly. You know, he was never too, you know, big above the station. He went at Spurs. And even when he returned, he remained humble. You know, and I just thought he was a class above for me. So it's got to be Dembele.
Okay. Emilio, how about you?
Again, I think David touched on the points I was going to say. It's best player, you know, best player who I've enjoyed watching. Obviously, Berbatov technically probably the best, but you know, I still blame him to some extent why we actually got relegated that season. I don't forgive him for that, to be honest. Why, you know, he had a good first season, second season. I was disappointed. He was not a team player, and I wouldn't put him anywhere near, but you know, the top six players for Fulham Football Club. I still like Clint Dempsey. Again, I've always raved about him. His contribution, his goals, his assists, his work rate. It's disappointing. I was gutted more when he went to Tottenham than when Dembele went. To be honest, I think Dembele, technically very good player, didn't do enough for me in terms of goals scored and assists. Because Dempsey had everything in the tank. And you know, to be honest, I don't forgive him missing that penalty against Chelsea in injury time that time. Was it a Monday night? Okay, yep. Sorry, David. I said the C word, didn't I? But, yeah. You know, we've had, you know, again, for me, it's, you know, if you look at the best player, I'm looking not necessarily technically the best player, the best player in the top league, and that I enjoyed watching, was Clint Dempsey. Again, it goes back to that Martignol era, going back to then.
But, okay.
You know.
Good stuff. Mike, how about you? There are several choices here. I don't think anyone's going to mention Ross McCormack, so I just thought, I don't think anyone's going to go there. So how about you, Mike? Where do you go on this? Like I said, for me to be entertained, it's Berbatov, but good point. Was he part of the reason why Fulham got relegated? Possibly. So how could it be Berbatov? Who is it for you?
Well, he was the best technical player. I don't think anyone can disagree with that. And certainly some of those players in that last, you know, first year or two of Cottage Talk have been there a few years. But I'm going to be quite boring, actually, and say, actually, it was, for me, the best player this last decade is Mitrovic. He's been the difference. He was the difference.
I figured someone would mention Mitro.
And strikers who score 20 goals a season do not come along very often. You know, maybe one or two a decade if you're lucky. And we've had two. McCormack, you know, for all his faults, scored a lot of goals.
He certainly did. He kept us in the division, let's be honest.
He did when you look back. And, you know, I gave him a hard time for sure. But I did also think about, well, maybe it wasn't the best player of the decade. You know, for me, the three Musketeers in midfield as well, you know, they were brilliant as a combination. But, yeah, the one player who I just love for this last few years has been Mitrovic, and I'm going to go with that.
I figured someone would mention Mitro, and I certainly understand that, Mike. How about you, Giannis? There are a lot of places you can go. I kind of like David's out of the box. You know, it might not be too out of the box, thinking about as a player being valuable, being Mark Schwartz. I like that one. How about you?
Well, Berber has had the best first touch of any player I've ever seen in the Premier League, and I don't think anyone came close. He was just an absolute. You pay big money to go and watch him play. For me, Clint Dempsey was our best player.
Wow!
And so I was devastated when he left.
With Emilio, okay?
Yeah, I was devastated because it was it wasn't just the fact that he left; it was the manner. And I think I've said to you in previous shows, I don't think we'll ever know the true story as to why he left the club. We know that all of a sudden he wasn't playing, and he was such a catalyst. And the improvement that we saw in the black and white of Fulham, you know, from, you know, the fledgling that he was to a full-blown US international, to everything that he did, for him to leave. But I'm going to add as a caveat the fact that he had the guts, and I say, even though it wasn't successful, but he had the guts to come back a second time. And it was, you know, he didn't do brilliantly, but I'll always have lots of time for the Deuce. And he was Dembele for all his skill, Berber for all his flash, but Dempsey for me, player of the decade.
Okay. Claire, how about you? Who would it be for you? I'm curious.
It's hard because you know me, Russ.
I know you, Claire. You like everyone. I know.
I love everyone.
You love everyone. I know, Claire.
Do you know what? Just for the pure joy of watching him play recently, I'm going to say, and it's a little bit boring, and please forgive me, but I'm going to say Ryan Sessegnon.
Okay.
I think, you know, he was a great player to watch. I still desperately miss him. I still really, really miss him.
I have a comment for Ryan Sessegnon. There you go.
There you go. You know, I still miss seeing him on the pitch. I think his passion was just, you know, it was just, he wore it on his face. He wore it in his heart. He wore his passion for the club. And he was a beautiful player to watch. And you know, I mean, I could choose so many. I echo everything you've all said. Yep. Mitro, yeah. Berber, yeah. Dempsey, yes. But for me, I'm going to go Cesc just because I love him. I miss him. And I just think, you know, he was a proper Fulham lad, wasn't he? He was Fulham through and through. And you could see that, you know, that passion was just there. And yeah, I'm just sad he's still not with us, really.
He's unfortunately right now a cautionary tale because I still think Ryan Sessegnon could be a great player, but he's in a very bad situation, I think. And I think he made a mistake, but we'll see. Hopefully he can bounce back in his career. Okay, let's go to the ref. Mr. Lydiard, how about you?
Mine's easy, Ross. I can't believe no one's mentioned this. For his all-round happiness at making sort of zero appearances for us, Jallo, where's Jallo?
Oh, come on. Of course you had to go.
Yes, Yanis, yes. Marcelo Jallo, our very own non-Brazilian. no, it's Dempsey's a good shout. Mitrovic's a good shout.
We've got a lot for Dempsey.
Yeah, Dempsey, I said still, you know, for someone what we got him for, you know, and what he delivered back to us, it's got to be Dempsey.
Okay. I've left this purposely to Gordon. Gordon, you're going to have the last crack at this. 10 years here. Who is the best Fulham player in your eyes here? And again, a lot of choices. I'm curious your view.
Well, it all depends whether the two that I'm thinking of come in that 10-year period because time has gone so quickly. And I think one or both of them were playing in 2012. And if they weren't, then my brain is testing me. But if Breda Hangeland was there in 2012 or Danny Murphy, then you may think it's strange. I think
Murphy might have been gone. Maybe someone can check on that. But Murphy's my favorite player, by the way, Gordon. My all-time favorite player. So I have all the time in the world for Danny Murphy.
I'm purely looking at sort of the influence they had on the entire team. And Danny Murphy, if he's there, if he's in that 10-year period, then he was outstanding in that midfield, even before that, but right at the end of his career. And Breda Hangeland was the rock in defence that everything is built on. If you're looking at, as people have mentioned, technical ability, then yes, Berber has got to be up there, but he was a... let's play when I'm ready type of attitude. And I think he upset the changing room. And I think Emilio said it was probably him that upset the apple cart and got us sort of on the way to relegation. So technical ability, him. Scoring ability, Mitrovic is up there with the rest of them. But I'm basically going on what holds the team together. Yep. And I would say either Danny Murphy, Breda Hangeland, if they are in that 10-year period.
They are in the 10-year period. I just double-checked. They are. So good calls by you, Gordon. See, you know, that's why it's always valuable to have Gordon on the show. So,
I'm probably the oldest one here, and I can remember that far back.
Well, again, what's ironic here is me doing a Goldman. I should have said Danny Murphy because he's my favorite player, and I don't know why it didn't even dawn on me. So there's a Goldman for me. So there you go on that. All right.
Don't be too hard on yourself, Russ. I mean, Murphy and Dempsey both left in 2012, so they were right at the start of Cottage Talk era. I mean, Hangeland stayed till 2014. So
He did.
Don't be harsh on yourself.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, guys. Great show. But listen, let's wrap this up. Before we go, I'm just going to say goodbye individually to each one of you. First, I'm going to start with you, David. David, thank you so much for doing the show. I hope you enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure to come back, and I hope that we can do it again sometime in the future. I have one question for Mike and for all the listeners.
Okay.
how many Premier League goals has Chris Wood scored since I last did a show?
Mike, I think that might take Mike some time to figure out. But yeah, I know why he's asking that. I know why he's asking that. Okay. Mr. Lydiard, while Mike ponders that, Mr. Lydiard, thank you so much for doing this tonight. And thank you for being a part of Cottage Talk.
Pleasure, guys. Anytime. And like I say, it's good to get the fresh faces of sort of Rob and everybody else with regards to this. I'll forget names as well. And everyone on here, it's just good to listen to and freshen up with different faces each week.
Okay. Okay. My positive twin, Claire, thank you so much for joining us tonight. She is my other half when it comes to positivity. Thank you, Claire, for doing this.
No, it's a pleasure, Russ. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Mr. Greg, as I've said it at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again, you're doing a great job with Scott on the Fofcast. It's a great show, and thank you for being such an integral part to Cottage Talk.
Cheers, Russ. It's been really good to be on and see your places and talk about the past. But I think, you know, let's look forward to the next 10 years and especially the rest of this season because it's an exciting start. And
yeah.
But I don't know how many goals Woods have scored, Dave, but I'm sure you will tell me later. I don't think he's a Premier League player. But anyway, there you are.
Okay. Well, I'll just mention this, Mike. If we go another 10 years, I think me, you, Holly, Emilio, I think we'll all be bald by then. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay. Giannis. Okay. Giannis, as always, listen, thank you so much for doing this. It's just been so great having you a part of Cottage Talk. I remember when you first contacted me and wanted to be part of the show. And it's just been wonderful having you. And it's just great to look back at 10 years.
Thank you, matey. And I think if we have a 20th anniversary show, we'll probably still be talking about the fact that Terence Congolo is still on the injury list.
Probably. Gordon, as always, thank you for joining us. I know Rob wanted to come. It's so great having the two of you on together. It's like a good banter going back and forth between the two of you. So thank you, as always, Gordon, for joining us.
No, I thoroughly enjoy it, Russ, and it's nice to see a few new faces that I haven't seen before. And with some of them, if they speak to me while I'm at the cottage, then I now know who they are, so I can talk back instead of just ignoring them and walking on.
Okay, very good, Mr. Tanfield. As always, thank you so much for what you do. And listen, and I want to say this, I can't thank you enough for the partnership we've had with Friends of Fulham and Cottage Talk. You've helped us grow as a podcast, and I hope it's been beneficial to Friends of Fulham as well. Thank you so much, and just keep up the great work that you're doing on Friends of Fulham and, of course, on the Fofcast.
Yeah, it's been good to come on, Russ, and like Gordon said, to see sort of, you know, some more faces. I mean, this is probably the second time I've met David personally face to face. The first time was in the Hammersmith toilets, I think, was the other time.
Yeah, we had a selfie with me, you, and the Magic Mod, Ben, didn't we?
Yeah, which is a bit eerie, because I know. But no, it's really good to sort of, you know, see some faces. I say some of you have come on sort of Fofcast and stuff like that, but it's not all about that. I think it's more about, you know, as a group of fans, I think we all do, like you said, Russ, earlier on, we all do enough of the fan base to keep everyone kind of, you know, involved. And the time moves on. This
exactly.
You know, and it's good that we've got to this stage of 10 years. And like I say, just hopefully for the next 10 years, we move on and we're back here again.
That'd be great there, Scott. Emilio, wow, it's been a long time, my friend. And thank you for everything that you've done for Cottage Talk. It's been a lot. And like we're all talking about, let's hope for another 10 years. But I hope you enjoyed tonight looking back at some great moments and talking to some great people that we've been involved with.
Absolutely. You know, it's the journey will continue. This is just for the first decade of many. But yeah, it's just, I think it's just the fact that it's just reunited all of us together. Like I've met all of you pretty much all face to face. I know I'm due to meet Gordon at some point very, very soon, Gordon and Rob for a few drinks. But yeah, overall, it's just, look, you know, we're all love Fulham. That's one thing we have in common. We're all good friends. We all have a good banter, and yeah, long may this continue. To be honest, it's really been a pleasure to do the show with these guys tonight, and obviously with you, Claire. Thanks for being a shining light. You know, always very positive. You know,
absolutely.
So, yeah, let's not forget that. But yeah, it's been a good show. Great memories, and there'll be many more in the years ahead, that's for sure.
Okay, excellent. All right, I'm just going to share some comments. Thank you, everyone who has been watching or listening live, and I'm just going to share some. So just thank you, because, again, it's you obviously watching or listening to Cottage Talk that has been such a big part of the show's success over the years, along with everyone that's on here and all the co-hosts over the year, the guests, the incredible guests that we've had. It's just been wonderful. And I can't thank everyone enough for doing this with me over the years. But let's wrap up.
One thing as well, let's not forget our listeners. You know, thank you. Without the listeners, there would be no show as well. So let's thank everyone who's week in, week out, tuning in, add comments. And, you know, thanks for your ongoing support, contribution, and you know, just supporting the club and supporting the show.
Absolutely. If it wasn't for the listeners, there would be no Cottage Talk. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Yeah. Emily, I almost did another Goldman at the very end calling you Giannis. That's great. And again, I can't go through any show without doing at least.
Well, who's got more hair? Giannis, I think you win. I think I win it marginally, no?
Okay. All right, guys. Let's wrap this up. For everyone on the show tonight, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.